Turn in the Word to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I already told you one of my favorite things about Christmas. I want to talk about another one. Movies. Anybody have a favorite Christmas movie out here? Some people like the old ones, some like the newer ones. My favorite of all time remains Holiday Inn. Anybody seen Holiday Inn with Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire? We watch it about. Haven't watched it yet this year. The problem is our movies are all packed up, and we don't are. So I'm going to have to go and find it on Netflix or one of the other streaming places. But if you remember, the main song out of Holiday Inn, Irving Berlin, was what? Who remembers? White Christmas. You see, White Christmas did not debut at the movie White Christmas. You need to know that. It was at the movie Holiday Inn prior to that. White Christmas was Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. Holiday Inn was Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. And one of the great lines from that hymn is, that song is, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas." Well, I want to change that around a little bit and tell you that I'm dreaming of the right Christmas. This year, in spite of all the things that have happened in 2020, and it won't go down as one of the better years in the history of the world and our nation, but nevertheless, I'm still dreaming of the right Christmas. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid and frightened. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. And I pray the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be pleasing in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name. I don't know about you, but I'm dreaming of the right Christmas. Christmas. The right Christmas is one in which there is room for Jesus. Let me say that again. The right Christmas is one in which there is room in your heart and in my heart for Jesus. Remember that they said he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they laid him in a manger in a stable out behind the inn. Now, why is that? Because the Bible tells us there was no room for them in the inn. In the fall of 1775, the manager of Baltimore's largest hotel refused lodging to a man dressed as a farmer. The manager thought that his lowly appearance would cast his inn in a bad way. So he said, no room here. The man left, found a room in another place. Shortly thereafter, the manager discovered that the man he had refused lodging to was none other than Thomas Jefferson, the Vice President of the United States. Immediately, he sent a note to Jefferson and invited him to return as his guest. Jefferson replied by instructing his messenger, "Tell him I've already engaged your room. I value his good intentions highly, but if he has no place for a dirty American farmer, he has none for the Vice President of the United States." I think of that verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." No room in the inn. I remember back my wife is with me today, and I think back to over 37 years ago, we got married in Jackson, Michigan, on July 16th, 1983. Did I get that right? July 16th, 1983. I remember several months before the wedding day, I went around to places like the Holiday Inn, I don't know what else, maybe the Best Western or whatever, and we had a bunch of people coming up. We got married where we met and where I lived, but there was family all over in other places. So I went by the Holiday Inn, other places, and they said, this is like February or March, and they said, sorry, no room. I said, what? No room? That's months away. That's right in the middle of the summer. What's going on? And they said, you know, the Michigan 500 is a part of the NASCAR series. Any NASCAR fans out here? The Michigan 500, which is up in Brooklyn, Michigan, just a few miles down the road from Jackson, every year, right smack dab in the middle of the summer, takes place there. And there could not be a room found in nearly the whole town. So we scrimped and we looked and we did find places. But for the most part, there was no room in the inn. Like trying to find a motel room in Athens, when UGA, other than this year, right, Jim? And you could find a room pretty easily. No room in the inn. And so I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, one in which when he knocks at the door, we don't put a sign up that says, do not disturb. We hang a sign out that says, enter in. There is room in my heart for you, Jesus. Come in and dine with me, and I will dine with you. I think that's what the right Christmas is all about. And you know, one sneaky little thing about this year. Normally we are going to and fro. There are all sorts of parties. There are all sorts of events. And a lot of things that we would normally do, we're not able to do. So maybe there's a little bit more solitude. Maybe we've slowed down just a bit. And I hope you'll turn that around into a good thing and make room for Jesus. Secondly, I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, one in which there is a time for proper worship. Gosh, I hope you enjoyed that first 20 minutes as much as I did. Thank you so much for that selection. This warms my heart. I think you know that by now. I've gone on and on about that. But let's look at that first Christmas in Luke chapter 2 as described. Soon after the birth of Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, the Bible says in relation to the angelic choir, a choir of angels gathered. They made their way from heaven down to earth and they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And so there was worship. But not only were the angels worshiping, but the shepherds nearby were worshiping as well. You go on over to chapter 2, verse 20, it says, the shepherds went back. And what were the shepherds doing? They were glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as had been told. We were with our daughter and our grandchildren Friday night. My daughter said, Daddy, what is your favorite Christmas memory? And I thought one that would include the whole family. And I might have mentioned this already to you. But every Christmas at First Baptist Church Lafayette, except for the last couple, we put together and assembled. Who's seen a living Christmas tree? Have you all seen one of those? It was beautiful. Year after year, we packed the house several nights. And why was it such a special memory? Well, one was because our whole family was involved. And those were the years where, you know, one daughter was in middle school and one daughter was in high school. We were all together. And it was so meaningful. We loved it so much. But it wasn't only the family part, but it was the worship part. Nearly the whole church got involved. And it was a time of great worship. Not only did we put together the living Christmas tree, but every year we went out caroling. Now that was a smaller group, but I can remember we gathered for chili and hot dogs for a while, a little light supper, and then we were out caroling. And we gathered around, and those elderly people were so glad to see us. It just brightened their day, and it brightened our day. It was such a beautiful time. And that was a time of worship, but that was a time of corporate worship. There's also private worship. Think about the two. There is a difference. There's corporate worship. We were involved in corporate worship, but we also, as believers, ought to be involved in private worship. And that's not just singing. That is worshiping God. So I challenge you, as I have many times before, if you're kind of feeling the blahs and it seems like the holiday mully grubs are closing in, just start praising Jesus. Satan hates it. He hates praise. So you start praising and you'll chase the devil away and you'll sense the presence of God. I love that verse in Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I want to tell you, that's a general verse, but there's no better application than an application around Christmas. I'm dreaming of the right Christmas. It may not be white, but I surely hope that it's right. And it's going to be right if we're worshiping God, not only corporately, but privately, the right Christmas. But there's another thing in this passage. There's another part of this Christmas story. I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, one in which we discover the true joy and grace of giving. So who have we talked about so far? We're about maybe one-third of the way through this, not yet halfway. But we talked about the family, right? We talked about that baby laying in a manger and Joseph and Mary and animals nearby. We talked about the angels. We talked about the shepherds. Who have I not mentioned yet? Somebody say. Who have we not talked about yet? Wise men, right? The wise men. Now, it doesn't say there were three specifically. That's always an interesting little Christmas tidbit. But they brought three gifts, right? So we think there were three wise men. I think the wise men were some of the more intriguing characters in the Christmas story. When we did those living Christmas trees, our music minister, he never asked me to sing a solo. I didn't even get to be in the choir. But there was a time, maybe more than once, when I got to dress up as a wise man, and I cherished the role. Aren't they rather intriguing characters of the Christmas story? Let's talk a little bit about who they were. They were magi from the East. You could Google this and find this out, or look in your Bible encyclopedia. Diplomats. They were government representatives. They were seeking peace. They had heard, obviously, they sensed in their spirit that this was a major addition to the physical and the spiritual world, and they came upon a spiritual quest, and so they were magi from the East. They were wise men, and so who were they? That's who they were. But you know, when I read this, it's not so much who they were, it's what they did. What did they do? They came. They made that long distance, obviously a sacrificial trip. Wasn't that easy traveling back in those days. They came bearing gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's a little study within itself if you want to do that and get into the details about that. But I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, one in which we truly discover it is more blessed to give than to receive. I already made mention, my wife is here, and I'm going to tell you what, you know, when it comes to Christmas and putting together the gifts, I'm going to brag on her, and she's probably going to get me for this later, but, you know, she's the giver. I mean, she's not counting the cost. Every year she starts thinking weeks in advance about, you know, what are we going to get these children? And now we have grandchildren. So even though maybe the list of parents and stuff had finished relatives compared to what it once was back in the day when we drew names, anybody ever draw names back in the day? Those days are pretty much behind us, but guess what? The grandkids have entered the picture. And she puts on Gifter, and she orders from Amazon, and I don't suppose a day goes by that there's not a package on the front porch from FedEx or from Amazon or whatever, because she, if it was left up to me, I would give, but it would probably be cash or gift card or something. See, you know, and then somebody asks her, you know, or then my daughters say, well, what do you want, Mom? And, you know, she had trouble thinking of something that she wanted. So she's an inspiration to me. And let's broaden that out and just say I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, one in which we truly discover the grace of giving. And it doesn't come natural for me, but it comes supernatural. You see the difference? God puts it on our heart to give, to want to give. For some people, it's easier than for other people. And that reminds me of a story. There was an elderly man who inherited $500,000. This was a long time ago, and that would have been a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. An elderly man inherited $500,000, and his friends were concerned. He had a bad heart. What would he do when he found out that he had inherited $500,000? So they called the preacher. They told him, you know, the old guy, you handle the situation. You're good with words. So the preacher went and said, sir, what would you do if you inherited $500,000? Well, I would give it all to the church, the man said. And you know what? The preacher had a heart. This man had discovered the grace of giving. I love these old stories. You know I do. D.L. Moody, one of the great preachers of all time, he told a story about giving. There was a miser who was converted. This was like the guy who was Potter in It's a Wonderful Life. This is the man who was Ebenezer Scrooge before he saw the light. He was an old, greedy miser, and he got converted. And then he found out about a man down the road who had come upon some hard times and he needed some food. So he went out and he had a smokehouse full of hams. And he went out there and a little voice on the shoulder said, give him the smallest one. Give him the smallest one. He was about to reach for the largest prize ham in the smokehouse. And that voice said, give him the smallest one. Give him the smallest one. He turned around and said, hush up, Satan. If you don't keep quiet, I'm going to give him every single ham in this smokehouse. That's the spirit of Christmas, isn't it? Oh, I hope to get that. I want to get that. I hope you'll get that. I hope Crossroads Church gets that, because the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, give. And it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And you know, we think about treasure. But it may not be treasure. This may be a Christmas when it's not your treasure you're giving. You might say, you know, preacher, I would love to do that. If I had $500,000, I'd love to do something like that. If I had a lot of money, I would love to make a big monetary gift. But I want to tell you what. You know what? For some people, it may not be money they need. It may be just sitting down over the holidays and just... You know, there are people out there. People out there have plenty of money. We talked to a man a couple of weeks ago about making a charitable gift to the Georgia Baptist Convention. I may have mentioned him last week. I can't remember. This man is a lonely man. This man lives very meagerly. It's the only way he's ever lived. He's got $3 million. He said, preacher, I've got $3 million in about 10 different banks. This is a wealthy man. But you know what? He's also a lonely man. He doesn't need any more money. The last thing he needs is money. He needs someone to just sit down and listen to him. I've called him two or three times lately. I can't get him off the phone. He's so lonely. He just wants someone to talk to. There may be someone here in the congregation like that. I guarantee you, if that's not you, then you know someone like that, right? So it's your time. It's your treasure. Maybe it's your talents. Maybe you can go and fix something for some, something you can do that somebody else can't do, and you could go and you could fix that, or your talents, maybe whatever it might be. Are you with me on that? I'm dreaming of the right Christmas. I'm not so concerned about a white Christmas as I am the right Christmas, and there's room for Jesus. There's room for, I love all the other stuff too. Now, you know, the parties, the festivities, the movies, the, but mainly for Jesus. Great worship. It's a time in which there is great worship. And then also that there's a time where there is significant sacrificial giving. Finally, let me wrap this up by saying, I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, one in which the good news, good tidings of great joy, the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed like never before. Don't you think that now, more than ever before, in this crazy, mixed up world in which darkness seems to pervade, don't you think the most important message people need to hear is that Jesus loves you? After you die, it's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. Do you know Christ? When you die, will you go to heaven? Do you know the truth? Don't assume people do, because I can tell you what, most people really don't. You ask them if they're going to heaven, they'll say, I hope so. While I think so, I think the good in my... Can you believe people are still answering that way? But Mike, they are. You go out here to the mall, you go down here to the mall, a few exits down, you go out here to Perimeter Mall and just stop and talk to people. Go into Cracker Barrel, out there people sit in their rocking chairs. And you ask them, they'll say, well, I hope so. By golly, I think I'm just a little bit better than my neighbor next door who's kind of an Onrio cuss. I'm dreaming of the right Christmas, where the gospel of Jesus is proclaimed clearly, boldly, like never before. Let's revisit the shepherds here. When they found out about Jesus, they were out there just minding their own business. They weren't used to things like this happening. The angels were gathering, the shepherds gathered, discovered the Christ child, and what did they do? The Bible says not only did they worship, but what else did they do? The Bible says they witnessed. When they had seen this, when they had encountered Jesus and Mary and Joseph and what had happened, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. First set, don't miss this little tidbit of information. When they heard this, they didn't keep it all bottled up. They made it known. Because you see, Christ's birth is not a secret to be protected. It is salvation to be proclaimed. You could amen that if you wanted to. I'll say it again, you can amen. Okay, Christ's birth is not a secret to be protected. It is a salvation to be proclaimed. You see, there's some things that you find out about, and it's best you keep quiet about it, right? There's some things that you hear, and it's probably best just to not say another word about it. But when you hear there's a Savior, when you hear there's an answer to the sin that this world is so deeply steeped in, then you might want to make that known. I would not keep quiet about it. I would make it known. Acts chapter 4, we read about Peter and John. Now remember, by this point, Pentecost has already taken place. 3,000 were added to the soul. 3,000 were added to the church. The Holy Spirit had come. And then Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were out witnessing. And they were doing a wonderful job. It wasn't because of them. It was because the Spirit who engulfed them. So as you might notice, you thought things were bad now. They were worse back then. They're probably going to get to that point around here. But they were brought before the authorities, and they were instructed, hush! You're creating a disturbance. You don't need to be talking about this Jesus anymore. You know what they said? We can't help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We can't help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Can you imagine? Gosh, I long for that. Am I there? No. You think you're a preacher, you ought to be there, and I should be there, but most of the time, unfortunately, you know, it's a struggle. But I want to get to the point where, you know, Jesus, I realize he's made such a difference in my life that I can't help speaking about what I've seen and heard. What is it you can't help speaking about? You love those grandkids, right? I can't help speaking about them. You love those bulldogs or wildcats or vox. I just can't help speaking. And that's fine. But above all else, I'm dreaming of the right Christmas. And I'm hearing about everything else. I'm hearing about this virus. I'm hearing about this election. I'm hearing about all the other stuff going on. But above all else, you know what I hear? I want to hear about people being changed, people being converted, lives being changed because of the gospel of Jesus. I'm dreaming of the right Christmas. Wouldn't that be the right? It can happen. It can happen now more than ever. Such a need. I just want to say, people, we live in a lost and dying and needy world, and there's no other answer. There's no other answer. I see these people, you're chasing so many other answers, and there's only one answer. I wish I had a picture of it. I don't. Maybe you've seen it, but Rembrandt's famous painting of the Nativity. All the light in the painting focuses upon the Christ child. Mary and Joseph are there. The animals are there. Shepherds, I'm sure, are around. Maybe even, I don't know, I haven't seen it lately, but one thing I do know, what I've read and heard, all of the focus is on Christ child, because he's the reason for the season. The right Christmas is one in which there's room for Jesus. There's worship. There's giving. Give, give. It may not be just money. Be the least someone. It's just a phone call. Maybe someone needs your forgiveness. Maybe to call up and you say, I forgive you. You say, well, when they ask to be forgiven, then don't wait till then. Just call up and say, you know, I'm sensing something is not right, so let's get it right. And finally, the gospel of Jesus is proclaimed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. Lord, it'd be great to have white Christmas. If that was what was going to happen, be beautiful. Lord, really, I think what we need words is a right kind of Christmas. May it be so. Guide us. Lord, before we leave here, Lord, we sense the Spirit is at work. Warm our hearts. Change our hearts. Fill us by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. May we leave changed. Full of the Spirit and ready to finish this year and be your representatives before the lost and dying world in Christ's name.